Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
First this morning, Israeli forces have again fired at an observation post belonging to the UNIFIL peacekeeping forces in southern Lebanon this morning. This is according to a report from the Reuters news agency, who were informed by a UN source. And it follows a deliberate attack on the UN positions yesterday by Israeli troops, which left two peacekeepers from Indonesia injured. Now, the UN peacekeeping chief, Jean-Pierre Lacroix, last night told the Security Council that the safety of UN peacekeepers in Lebanon was increasingly in jeopardy and operations had virtually halted since late September. In a moment, I'll speak to Ray Murphy, Irish Centre for Human Rights at the University of Galway. But first, for the very latest from Lebanon, I'm joined on the line by Leila Milana Allen, who's special correspondent with PBS NewsHour. Now, we'll come to those attacks on the observation post in just a moment, Leila, but I understand you've just been to the site of one of the overnight strikes. Can you tell us what you've been seeing in the last hours?
I have. I've been to a few of them. So late yesterday evening, there was an almighty bang much closer to central Beirut, those of us staying there, than any of the strikes we've been hearing in the suburbs of Beirut. And it turned out to be in an area called Asnaba Nuweiri. This is the very center of Beirut. It's next to Sodeco Square, which is a very popular meeting place. All the diplomatic residences are nearby. It's full of shops, it's full of cafes, restaurants, and mainly residential buildings. Now, one of these streets, there are multiple houses where whole floors have been taken out. The whole street is covered in shattered glass. Several families died there. And one of the terrible things about this is that many of these families had escaped from areas in the south of Lebanon and in the suburbs of Beirut, thinking, because nobody thought that this would be an area for an airstrike, that this would be safe. I've then just been to the site of another strike, which brought the entire apartment block down. I'm talking 10 to 12 floors of homes. At least 120 people have been injured, at least 22 people killed, but we expect that number to rise because they were digging people out of the rubble through the night. Civil defense volunteers are still here now, going through the rubble, trying to make sure that they've got out everyone that they can, whether those people are alive or dead. And the scenes here are weeping grandmothers walking around, unable to believe what's happened. People are in complete shock. Last night, they were running up and down the streets screaming. And the target of this attack, Israeli sources have said, was a man called Wafiq Safa. Now, he is a Hezbollah member. He has been responsible for a lot of corruption and a lot of legal violations in Lebanon. But firstly, he survived the strike. The intelligence clearly wasn't right. And so many people, so many civilians have been killed without any successful killing of the target they were going after. And secondly, he was the key mediator. He is, as he survived, the key mediator between Western agencies here and Hezbollah. What that means is that he is a key person in any negotiation going forward for a ceasefire. Now, this has happened with multiple leaders of both Hezbollah and Hamas, and many people are concerned that Israel, as it goes after Hezbollah and Hamas leaders for their crimes, is taking out the people who are capable of negotiating these trusted relationships with Western officials that have taken many years to build, and that makes a ceasefire much less likely. Indeed,
so these,
there's also the question of international law here, because, of course, killing 22 civilians, maybe more, to target one person is a grave violation of international law.
Well, we have the Iranian president at the moment is speaking on Russian TV, accusing Israel of violating all international agreements. Were there any warnings in advance of these strikes on what sound like very heavily populated residential and business districts?
There were not. What's becoming increasingly clear here is that when there are generalized strikes against areas in which they think Hezbollah is holding munitions, and just to remind you, this is not that weapons are being hidden in residential areas. It's that there are areas Hezbollah, as a political military organization here, governs. And so that's where their military and political offices and their weapons depots are. So when those happen, which are usually in the southern suburbs and the south, there are warnings. Those areas have mostly been evacuated now. But when they're targeting individuals, of course, to not give them warning, they are not issuing warnings. And that is why we're seeing such high death and injury tolls among civilians when they hit these residential buildings. Nobody heard a word last night before these strikes hit.
Now, moving to what's happening in the south, and I mentioned there that we have reports that Israeli forces again fired at an observation post belonging to the UNIFIL peacekeeping forces. What more can you tell us, Leila, about that?
Well, I, over the years, have gone down many times to the south and patrolled with UNIFIL forces there. Of course, there are around 10,400 UNIFIL peacekeepers in the south of Lebanon. One of the largest contingents is the Irish. There are 300 plus of them. What they're doing down there, and they've been there for nearly 50 years, but over the last nearly 20 years since the 2006 war, they were a key part of trying to end that war. There was a resolution with the UN that was brought about. And the point of the peacekeepers being there is to achieve several things, to get Hezbollah to pull back from that border and lay down its weapons, to get the Lebanese armed forces to become more powerful and be able to have authority in the south of Lebanon so that they're the official authority there, and to stop Israel from making incursions across the blue line, which was the border, the official border line agreed after that war and previously. Now, none of those things have been achieved over the last few years, and that's what's led us to this conflict again. The peacekeepers are still there. Last week, their spokesperson, Andrea Tenenti, who I've interviewed extensively, was warned that he had, by Israel, they had to leave for his safety. Then they warned the Irish troops posted there, the peacekeepers, that they had to leave too. They refused. Their role is to be there to observe and to deconflict. And if they leave, the only mediating force there between the fighting has left. Now, then what happened was Israeli tanks bedded in directly next to, and I'm talking 2 meters from, the gates of the UNIFIL compound. Hezbollah then couldn't fire against them because they were next to UNIFIL soldiers, and Hezbollah accused the IDF of using these peacekeepers as human shields. The peacekeepers are not allowed to fight back. That's their mandate. All they can do is observe, so they're really sitting ducks. Then they slightly moved from those positions. We thought things had been relieved, but yesterday, two of those outposts were fired upon by Israeli troops, and they breached the perimeter of one of those bases with a drone and took out the cameras in advance so they couldn't be filmed. Two soldiers were injured, and today they fired again, injuring two more UNIFIL soldiers and actually breaching that compound, going inside that UNIFIL compound. Now, what UNIFIL is saying is this is obviously a grave violation of international law, but also they cannot continue to be attacked like this. It's a real quandary for them because, as I say, if they leave, they are negating their mandate, but if they stay, they're at very real risk because it seems clear that IDF troops are going to continue pressuring them with violence to leave.
And we know they've been hunkered down for a number of weeks, and it was confirmed by the UN peacekeeping chief that their operations have stopped now. So you would wonder what they're doing there. You know, is there a way that they can extricate those troops while still maintaining some sort of mission there? So get those people to safety, but at the same time saying, look, we will continue in our peacekeeping efforts when it is safe to do so and when we can actually carry out that work, because at the moment, nothing is happening.
So here's the whole problem. That's exactly the question that I posed to their spokesperson here, who's been here for all 18 years since the new mandate was renewed, trying to implement this resolution after the end of the last war between Israel and Lebanon. What he said was, look, of course we're in danger, but peacekeepers have to be here when there is fighting as well as when there's peace. Otherwise, what's their role? We have to remind the parties that they have to ensure our security. That's their responsibility. Shelling at our positions, firing at us is unacceptable. If we leave, we are bowing to violent pressure from the armies of different countries. And that's exactly counter to our role and the point of the agreement between international groups, that we will have peacekeepers, that we will respect the authority of the UN. So essentially, to bow to that pressure would be to completely renege on the whole idea of peacekeeping and the UN's authority. So they are deeply at risk, and they may, if very sadly we do see any peacekeepers killed, that position may change. But at the moment, they're determined that they need to fulfill their mandate and stay, and that they won't bow to this increasing delegitimization of the UN's authority.
Leila, thank you very much once again for joining us under difficult circumstances there, reporting from Lebanon. That's Leila Milana Allen, special correspondent with PBS NewsHour. Professor Ray Murphy is with us too, from the Irish Centre for Human Rights at the University of Galway. In the last few minutes, Ray, Antonio Guterres has said that the firing on peacekeepers by the IDF, the Israeli military, is intolerable and must not be repeated. I mean, looking at this with your experience and your worldview, has a line been crossed here once again?
Yeah, definitely. This is probably the most serious and dangerous development since the most recent incursion by Israel into South Lebanon. And the evidence is overwhelming that the Israelis deliberately targeted the UN posts, which is an international crime. I mean, there's UN personnel, although they're military personnel, they're operating as UN peacekeepers. So they're regarded in the context of international humanitarian law as civilians and protected persons. And they're there as impartial observers attempting to implement an impossible mandate in very difficult and challenging circumstances. And to me, it's apparent that the Israelis want UNIFIL out of the area. They want free rein to do what they've done in Gaza, what they're trying to do in Beirut. And they don't want international observers, any type of international presence in the area.
Now, Antonio Guterres, the UN chief, has gone on to say in the last few minutes, repeating really what you said there, Ray, that this, according to him, is a violation of international humanitarian law. But I'm wondering, when those UNIFIL troops come under attack and they're fired on, are they in any sort of a position to be able to defend themselves?
Well, because of the nature of the mandate, I mean, it's a very good question, Claire. And this particular UN mission is a compromise and was a compromise from the very beginning. So it straddles what's called traditional peacekeeping and peace enforcement. But essentially, it's a peacekeeping mission. The troops are lightly armed. They have armored vehicles for protection. They have no military capacity to take on the Israeli Defense Forces, nor do they have the capacity to militarily take on Hezbollah. So they're relying on cooperation of the parties to the situation for their protection and to be able to carry out their mandate. They can, as a last resort, use force in self-defense. But I stress they have no military capability to take on the might of the Israeli Defense Forces. And I don't say that with any admiration for the Israeli Defense Forces, but they have overwhelming military hardware. And there's no hope for UNIFIL if they become a party to the conflict. And it's not their role. They were never intended to be. Mm-hmm. So it's a very precarious situation.
Yeah, I mean, they've been asked to leave by the Israelis. They've been fired on by the Israelis. They can't carry out their mandate now to observe. And as I said to Leila, they've been hunkered down for weeks. What is the point in them remaining on there and remaining in danger?
Yeah, well, I suppose their mandate was much more complex than just merely observe. But I would say, Claire, that at present they still can observe and report. The great majority of UN troops will be in bunkers seeking shelter, but essential personnel will still be in observation positions, monitoring what's happening and reporting, of course, to their own immediate colleagues who need to know what's happening to be able to protect themselves, but also through the normal lines of communication so that there can be an assessment, an objective assessment based on impartial reports from the UN, what exactly the Israeli forces are doing, what exactly Hezbollah is doing, and how the current situation is unfolding. So I do think they still have an important role.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that Irish troops, over 300, closer to 400 of them, will be involved in that continuing role of observing and reporting?
Absolutely. I mean, the Irish post that was in a difficult position with the Israelis setting up a camp right beside them. I mean, the post itself, the military term is OP, and that is observation post. It's there to observe. And I'd also say to the listeners, like the UN post, they're not defensive positions in the normal, as we'd normally understand, military role. It's a UN role. They're highly visible. They want to be seen, and they want their, you know, they're supposed to be protected under international law and under the UN mandate, representing the United Nations. So, though it's very limited what they can do, their presence is still very important. And something I've stressed before, I mean, I don't know what the long-term solution to the conflict will be, but if UNIFIL was withdrawn, which at present it can't be because it's just too dangerous to try to withdraw 10,000 personnel or even take out something like the Irish contingent. But a long-term settlement of this will most likely involve international forces being deployed again. So you have 10,000 troops on the ground. It takes a long time to put them there. It takes a long time to withdraw them. So the best thing for now is to remain in the bunkers, but to try to report and observe and provide what degree of humanitarian aid and facilitate what humanitarian aid can be delivered to the poor civilians that are left behind. I mean, I watched last night, actually, on an Israeli newspaper. I was looking at a video that they produced, and this is an Israeli source, where essentially one of the local villages in South Lebanon has been razed to the ground, similar to what's happened in Gaza. And it seems to me that Israel, the Israeli forces, want to do now in South Lebanon what we've allowed them to do essentially in Gaza, and that cannot be allowed to happen.
All right, so your view is that even if a UN decision were taken to remove those troops, it wouldn't be possible to do it because it's not safe. Ray, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much once again for being with us. That's Professor Ray Murphy from the Irish Centre for Human Rights at the University of Galway. Now, up next, a night to remember for the Irish soccer team in Helsinki as they came up with a much needed win. That's after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.